No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me. Captain Ed is threatened to join us before the show is out today. But in the meantime, I have Captain Dennis with me to round out the crew as we navigate the latest aviation news and information here at Just Plane Radio. And, you know, it's just a two-man crew right now, so we got to bring in reinforcements. Do we not, Dennis? What do you think?
Yeah, it sure would help. I think we need a little bit rounder forum here.
Okay. So you have recruited some help from Gary, who is connected via FaceTime with us. Gary Reeves, welcome to Just Plane Radio. How are you?
Well, I'm great, but I'm not sure I'm happy about being called the round edition.
Yes. Well, look, you know, we're bringing you down to our level, whether you like it or not. So, you know, we'll try not to be too much parasitic drag. Is that the proper term? I don't know.
Okay, that works good for me.
Yeah. All right. So, Dennis, you know Gary Howe here? Explain.
So, I actually met Gary virtually. Gary actually was... I first found out about him when we were putting the Avidyne radios in the plane, because he has produced a series of videos for new Avidyne owners. And I don't know how many of you have gone out to the airport and rented a plane, or maybe bought a new plane and it's got all these fancy gizmos in it, and you just sit down and the first time you've had a chance to do anything with them is when you're somewhere out on final trying to set up that instrument approach. Well,
yeah.
I kind of liked his philosophy of giving you a really solid understanding in an hour on an online video. And then, you know, Gary's also got a whole series of videos that you can purchase as well if you want to go more in depth.
Well, there you
and
go.
So that's how I first met him.
Okay. Well, Gary, you sound like my kind of guy, because I am very much along the lines of I don't like to read the manual. I want to wait for the movie. And that's kind of what you do? Do I got this right or what?
Yeah, you're 100% right.
Okay.
And I'm glad you don't like to read the manual. People who don't like to read manuals are what keeps me employed.
Okay, good.
The very short version of me is on paper, I actually look really smart. Then you get to know me and you make your own decisions. But I'm a master instructor. I was the FAA Instructor of the Year for the West Coast in 2016. And all I do for a living is travel the country and do three-day courses with people that own their own planes that want to get better at new avionics. So I actually developed a series of mastery training videos on avionics because the manuals are well written from an engineering perspective,
right?
But they're not necessarily in the order that makes sense to a pilot.
Yeah.
So I have training videos for anything Garmin, and my preference, of course, is I think Avidyne's the best out there. So I have training videos on Garmin, Avidyne, and ForeFlight, because that's the ones that most people need to know more. But it's hard to get by reading the manual.
Understood. I don't know. I think I'm not alone, but I just pick up stuff watching videos way better than reading manuals and books and things like that. You know, when you see what they're saying to do and actually see it executed in front of you, it's just easier to absorb. Am I just an idiot, or am I in the majority? What do you think?
No. I've been teaching aviation for 14 years, and reading the book is very helpful for some styles of learners. But seeing a real life example makes sense to the vast majority of people.
Yeah.
So you're much more in the majority than the other way around.
Well, good. I was hoping you weren't going to call me an idiot. So,
but we will anyway.
Yeah,
but
well,
that's
true.
For a good reason.
So true. But yeah, I appreciate that, Gary. So how did you get into this? I mean, you just saw this need and like, hey, I'm going to start making these videos and helping these guys out, or what?
Yeah, I've always been kind of a techie geek, a gadget guy.
Mm-hmm.
When I was very young, I asked my dad to buy me a video game, and he said, no, I'll buy you a computer and you can learn how to program your own. And therefore I went down the tech hill. So I was one of the early adopters of ForeFlight, and I just kind of developed a niche where I'm really good at tech. It just makes sense to me. Me and computers get along. And a lot of people struggle. So I actually sold my big flight school in LA. And for the last several years, all I do is teach the new technology to people that are already good pilots. Hmm. So the people that hire me own their own airplanes. They're already a good pilot. They know how to fly the plane. But the new technology is no longer self-teachable. Y'all remember when we could get in an airplane, all the radios were made by either King or Narco, and we could all fly them.
Sure.
Like, we could figure it out.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes, even though that doesn't really... I'm too young.
Knew how to turn a... You could change a frequency on pretty much any radio, right, Greg?
Yeah,
you know, grab them, twist the knobs, and push the button.
Right, true. Okay, sure.
Well, the new technology is not self-teachable. You can't just play with it in flight and figure it out, because you'll get yourself in trouble. Mm-hmm. It's funny, the people that hire me for my three-day training programs, they always start out by buying the videos first, and that's great. That fixes a lot of people. But people are kind of surprised that 50% of the people that hire me for a three-day training program have 20,000 hours or more and are working airline staff.
Wow.
Because they're used to professionals take differences training.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So a pilot who seeks out a video training option or an in-person training option is always going to be safer than somebody who tries to figure it out on their own. And it's not their fault.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I would never want to blame myself for a mistake I made. Let's be real. By the way, Gary Reeves is our guest right now. He's helping us out today. Pilotsafety.org is one of the websites that they can go to and order one of these, one of these three-day courses you're talking about, or what?
Yeah, pilotsafety.org is our master brand, and it'll get you everywhere. I have several websites. A couple big national companies have actually chosen me to develop videos for them. So both Avidyne and Genesis, the maker of S-Tech autopilots, have named me their national training provider.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go to avidynetraining.com just for the Avidyne stuff, or you could go to autopilot.guide just for the free training videos on the S-Tech autopilots. But if you want to see me, I'm over at pilotsafety.org.
Excellent. And I'm guessing, Dennis, have you done some of these courses, or have looked at them? After meeting Gary or talking to him here through the web, or what?
Yeah, at Sun and Fun, I did actually purchase his full set of videos on the Avidyne so that my son and I can become more proficient with all of the advanced functions. And it has been extremely helpful.
Well, there you go. So, Gary, are these, I assume these are things you download, or DVDs, or a little bit of both, or what?
Well, you got two options. My favorite is you can actually get them on DVDs, but they're not designed to play in computers. They're designed to put in a DVD player, put on a big screen TV,
right?
So you can see a big picture, and then you can work on an iPad simulator with me at the same time.
Okay.
That's kind of the best learning. It's like me being in the living room saying, okay, watch, this is how you do it. Then you hit pause and you do it with me.
It's a lot more convenient than trying to take your laptop into the cockpit and sit in front of your panel with the airplane powered up to try to, you know, push all the buttons. It's just, you can sit in the, you know, the comfort of your living room, have your iPad sitting out there, and actually play along and follow along during these exercises.
Understood. All right. So, Gary, let's talk about some of the specifics of what... some of the stuff that you addressed. Now, you gave us a couple topics here to deal with: filing a GPS direct outside of B airspace. Explain, what do you mean?
Well, I've been teaching and flying professionally for 14 years on the IFR standpoint. And unfortunately, one of the most common ways people are still trained in IFR is you go along the Victor Airways. I just want to tell every listener out there, nobody wants you on the Victor Airways. All the controllers nationwide, they don't want you on the Victor Airways. Now, you got to be on the Victor Airways to get in and out of Bravo airspace.
Mm-hmm.
So you should always use a standard terminal arrival route, a star, or to get out doing a SID. But the second you're at the last waypoint of the SID, GPS direct to your destination. Everybody likes it better. I don't know how many times y'all have been flying IFR on a Victor Airway, and they'll amend your clearance 3 or 4 times. they constantly reroute you.
Yeah. Dennis?
Because there's always somebody faster or slower than you on the airway, and they're trying to maintain separation.
Has this happened to you, Dennis?
Get off the airway,
what do you think?
And go direct, they love it.
Yeah. Dennis, what do you think?
No, because I got the new Avidyne gear in the airplane, and so on my last trip, the last thing I wanted to do was file an airway. I wanted to use direct as much as possible, and so I was out of their hair. But we did get a lot of reroutes on our first flight in the airplane when we only had, you know, VOR navigation, and that was our only choice.
Hmm. Okay, so that kept you out of the Victor airspace because you didn't have to, or Victor Airways because you didn't have to mess with it because you're a gear.
Exactly.
All right,
yep.
And I didn't have to deal with it because I'm not IFR certified, let alone private pilot certified. But look, I can look towards the future, and we're going to do that next with Gary. Stay close to Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Need to replace that old Garmin? Need a new GPS for your plane? No matter what you fly, Avidyne has you covered. Since 1994, Avidyne's been a market leader in the design of intuitive displays in avionics. The mission has always been to use innovative technology to improve safety and increase aircraft utility. Go to Avidyne.com to find a dealer in the solution for you. That's Avidyne.com or call 1-800-AVIDYNE. Avidyne, for pilots that know the difference.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
What's going on?
We're losing altitude. I want to try to put her down at that Air Force base.
Hey, hang on, Chris. We've got a distress call coming in.
Mayday! Mayday! Requesting emergency landing!
I see you, pilot. You are clear for landing.
This is going to be nuts.
God be with them. They did it. They landed.
And look.
They're in luck.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me, law Captain Dennis. And Gary Reeves, who does these videos so you can learn how to, you know, operate your avionics when you don't want to read the book. Well, really, you should do both. But this will kind of drill it home so you can really, you know, learn how to use those avionics maybe faster and more efficiently. That's the goal, right, Gary?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, most people with that use ForeFlight or their new avionics only know about 40% of the functions.
They just don't know
what they don't know.
Yeah, it's like using only 10% of your brain.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, and we probably should be more like the aliens that can use like the entire part. But that's a whole nother show, and a whole nother thing. By the way, pilot Safety.org is a website you can go to and check out Gary's videos, and then filter down to Avadyn for Flight, the different manufacturers that he works with. It's pretty cool stuff. So we talked about the direct outside B airspace going with GPS. What about this other thing? File direct to IAF, which means what exactly?
Well, a lot of people will file direct to an airport.
Yeah.
What I want you to do, and what all professional pilots do, is we know what instrument approach we're going to shoot 4 hours before we leave.
Right.
A kind of a common mistake amateur pilots do is they'll get 20 miles away from the airport, then they'll listen to the ATIS, then they'll brief the approach. Well, look, I knew what the weather was 4 hours ago. So, for an example, if I'm going to fly out of Long Beach, California, which is KLGP, mm-hmm. I'm going to do the Anaheim 10 departure ending at Ventura. Then if I go into Santa Barbara, California, which is KSBA, the default runway there is runway 25. There's a GPS approach that has an initial approach fix, IAF, of Kwang, K-W-A-N-G. So my flight plan is Long Beach, the Anaheim 10, Ventura transition, Kwang, then Santa Barbara. So when I switch to the final controller, which would be a Santa Barbara approach, I simply tell them. They already know I'm direct Kwang. I just tell them Santa Barbara approach, station air 41 Foxtrot, level 6000. I am doing the GPS approach 25, starting at Kwang with ATIS X-ray. So professional pilots tell ATC what approach we're going to shoot and where we're going to start it.
Yeah.
And every single time I say it, they go direct approved.
Hmm.
Amateur pilots ask ATC what approach is in use. So it's just a matter of planning ahead.
Okay.
But again, most people just are never taught this.
Right. So
well, and that was one of the things that I was going to point out is, you know, I actually had a chance to sit in on one of Gary's seminars that he conducted at AirVenture this year in conjunction with the AOPA. And there was so many tips like this that Gary had handed off, you know, to everybody during the seminar that just made sense. And why wasn't that being taught during my instrument training? We were taught to, you know, file a flight plan from the airport you want to leave from and the airport you're going to go to. And worst case, you expect a SID on the way out. That was it. There was no thought. Gary's whole presentation was all about the more that you can plan and do ahead of time before you get in the airplane, that means the less that you have to do in flight, the less changes that they're going to be, the more that you can expect and understand and anticipate, and it's going to make your job as a pilot easier and safer because you're not going to have to do all of this rethinking and rebriefing these approaches or even deciding what approach am I going to use. You already know. You've already told ATC where you want to be.
Well, isn't this part of the being the pilot in command kind of thing? Like you're dictating to ATC what you would like to do, and all they are doing said, okay, that sounds good. He knows what he's doing, as opposed to, well, what would you suggest I do, ATC? Like, well, okay, we're going to put you here, here, and here. But if you tell them this is what I want to do, it's just a matter of them saying yes or no. Do I got that right, Gary?
Yeah, you're 100% right. And by the way, they always say yes.
Well, okay.
People are amazed because I teach all over the country and I go in and out of different Bravo airspace every 3 days.
Hmm.
So 2 days ago, I was in Erie, Pennsylvania. At the moment, I'm in Oklahoma City. I don't even know where I'm going to be tomorrow. But the students I work with are just, oh, well, Oklahoma City is a Charlie airport. They're never going to let you do multiple approaches and stay IFR. Sure they do. I just tell them what I want.
Hmm. So you just have to take control of the situation.
I am the pilot in command.
Yeah. Now, see, I learned that early on in my flight training on one of, like, my second solo. Mm-hmm. And the ATC operator, she told me on my final, she said, look, there's a plane down on the runway. You can do a 360 and then join the final and go ahead and land, or you can go around. And I'm like, well, I've never done a 360 before on final, but I guess, okay, if she told me what to do, I guess I better do it. I listen to when women tell me to do these things. I'm programmed that way as a married man for almost 30 years. Wrong.
What Greg leaves out is that she told him to do that 360 at 300 feet off the ground, and this is a student on his second solo.
Oh, it was 500 feet off the ground. Like that mattered. But
keeps getting higher.
Yeah. But regardless, yeah, you know, that kind of drilled home that whole idea or concept that, look, you're the person who calls the shots, not them. And if you just kind of assert yourself a little bit more in that regard, you know, they'll accept it. They'll listen to you. That's pretty much it, right?
You're 100% right. So I am really good at about three things in life. I'm really good at teaching single pilot IFR, for flight, and advanced avionics. Controllers are much smarter than I am. I can keep one plane going where I want. They can control 20 people at a time. Mm-hmm. But controllers see a big picture. They don't know what's going on in the cockpit. So one of my favorite things to teach all my students is, when are you legally obligated to follow an ATC instruction? And the answer is never. Unless you agree or accept that instruction. So a controller told one guy departing in a mountainous area of Southern California, maintain runway heading for traffic. I'll call your turn. The guy flew into a mountain and killed his whole family. That was 100% the pilot's fault, not the controller.
Yeah.
So controllers are much smarter than I am. And if they give you an instruction, you should always try and comply if you can safely. But if it's not safe to do so, you just tell them no. And I've never had a controller give me any grief at all.
Yeah. So you're saying whenever you give these requests or you give them your instructions of what you want to do, they always say yes, is what you're saying. Are you ever tempted to throw in like, okay, I'd like to land in Long Beach, and could you have a medium hamburger with cheese and fries waiting for me too? You haven't tried
Absolutely.
That, have you?
Absolutely.
Okay. See, there's always something to add to the list. Pilotsafety.org. Check it out, and you can check in with Gary Reeves. Gary, thank you so much. A pleasure to have you on today.
You got it, Greg. We'll talk again soon.
And we got more coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, a co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Dennis. And look who just walked in. Captain Ed, better late than never. How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, but where you been, man?
Oh, I got tied up at the airport.
I got tied up at the airport.
I was laughing my butt off at something and lost track of time.
Well, you're laughing at what exactly?
Oh, it was something on Facebook.
Is that what you have pulled up here on the computer?
Yeah.
All right, let's just check this out. What is it?
With the airport and with the manager. And again, as I said, we've really never had any problems. The airport's run very well.
News report, okay.
And Hazelden told us that he believes the issue was with a defective flux capacitator, though the NTSB wouldn't comment on any potential cause today. Go Skydive Boston didn't respond to a written request for comment.
Yeah, I bet they didn't. Okay,
yeah.
So that's
I
how
think,
you were
I think
amusing
her
yourself,
hopes
huh?
of a national anchor position are pretty much gone.
Are you sure about that? Have you seen the news lately?
True.
Fake
but
news!
No, but it's clear there's no fact-checking, but it sounds like a smart aleck pilot had an idea there while he was being interviewed and threw the flux capacitor in there, and she can't even pronounce it correctly.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were laughing at that pretty much all day long. And so the what we kept telling people as they're walking out there, be sure to preflight that flux capacitor. You don't want to have it fail on you.
Yeah. Well, I bet you the pilot was just smart enough to pronounce it differently to make it sound more legit.
I think he probably said flux capacitor.
You think? And she even got that wrong?
I think so.
Well, maybe. But
There's only one airplane I know of with a flux capacitor. I saw it at Oshkosh, and it's an Embraer, and the guy's got it painted up on the side of it. But.
Well, and the first thing one of the instructors said, well, I don't know what it is, but I can draw one for you. And from the movie, and then
like
another
slingshot.
One said what they couldn't achieve 88 knots.
Right. Well,
they didn't have the 1.21 gigawatts of power.
Yeah
exactly. It didn't have enough power.
You're going to rotate at 88 miles or
88 miles per
88
hour.
88 knots, right.
88 knots.
I like it. Us aviators, we got a great sense of humor sometimes. Or we're just wise asses.
Not wrong on either account.
It's true. So true. We got more coming up on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Yep.
Let's find some more videos to watch here.
Cat videos are always fun.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
If this company is a plane, then this is Richard's damn plane. And if he wants to fly into the side of a mountain, that is his prerogative, and it is our duty to climb on, strap in, and have a fiery death right behind him.
I don't know about that.
Gonna take a for a ride on a jet plane.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Dennis, rounding out the crew as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. Then a bunch of other stuff like wacky videos with flux capacitors and stuff. And
that's news. It Dennis, was on an official news channel.
Well, okay. It's as it's prominent as any news in the mainstream media. We found another cool video. That plane. What was that? How big was that plane? Dennis,
it was a Boeing Dreamliner, the 787 for All Nippon Airways, was coming in for a landing during a typhoon here about 3 days ago, going into Japan.
That was one heck of a e-ticket.
It made me think about they need to add that to the You Can Always Go Around video.
Yes. And it was song. Being tossed around quite a bit. But it went,
I was proud that they did go around. I mean, when I looked at that, I saw that nose drop and the pilot, recovered it. Now, and
was that was that because it was a big airplane or it was a Oriental airline?
I think it was because it was a typhoon. Yeah.
No, I was referring to he was glad that they went around.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe everybody should do that. It doesn't matter what country you're in, does it?
No, and they teach you the stabilized approach, and that clearly at that point when it hit that wind shear on that landing, you're no longer stable. You should go around.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that they didn't try to salvage the landing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it was clearly a go around.
But yes.
That's actually the same airplane that Jim Folsom flies.
It is real. Oh, that's right.
Yep. Yeah.
But it wouldn't have been him.
No.
Because it was a Japanese airline.
No, all Nippon Airlines.
Yeah. Well.
Next time you see him, show that video and tell him.
It's like, hey, Jim, was that you? Yeah. Anyway. All right. So some other stuff going on in the news this week. Garmin has made the headlines probably in a way they don't really want to, I'm guessing, by reading this article about copyright or,
patent infringement.
Yeah. Patent infringement. With ADS-B or something, like their technology, and they're claiming that this other company is infringing on their patent.
On Garmin's patent?
Yeah. And I don't know if they are or not. Maybe they are, but, I mean, this other company is pretty small, it looks like to me. It seemed like...
What company is that?
What's the name of it, Dennis? You got that in front of you?
It's UAvionics. Yeah. This is the company we've been talking about for a while that's got the sky beacon and the tail beacon. They're making the little ADS-B transmitters that can replace your wingtip lights or your tail light.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds like a
real
innovative
low-cost
idea.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But what's Garmin's patents?
Well, it has something to do with the way they're pulling the information with their receivers from that tie in with ADS-B. Am I right, Dennis?
Yeah, Garmin has a patent on being able to interrogate or sniff the transponder code that's coming out of your existing transponder.
Yeah.
So that they can get your mode C altitude and your mode C code, and they're doing it. Well, UAvionics, supposedly, their argument is we're not actually connecting into the existing transponder cable. We're actually sensing the signal coming through the power lines within the airplane. So they're kind of using the airplane as a separate antenna and receiving the signal that way.
Mm-hmm.
But Garmin's saying, well, we have this patent that protects us and, you're infringing on it. You can't do that without paying us.
Yeah.
And so, is this going to stifle innovation? Upstart companies are now not going to bring new products to market because they're going to fear, getting sued to oblivion by, Big G. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, but let's look at the Wright brothers. How did they make all their money? They patented, their patent was for controllable flight.
That's pretty broad.
And anytime anybody had controllable flight, whether it was a twisting wing or ailerons or elevator,
they
had to pay the patent fees to the Wright brothers.
Yeah. Well, you know, I see both sides of it. I'm not saying one is, you know, right or not. I don't know. But I do question, you know, when you see this kind of stuff, especially when it comes to ADS-B that we all have to abide by here by 2020, it kind of blows.
Yeah, know? No, I agree. I agree with what Dennis is saying is it can stifle creativity.
Yeah.
You know, because little guys are not going to be able to afford a battle against Garmin. Garmin is the 800-pound gorilla in the industry.
Yeah.
You know, we've said, and we're glad that Avedine's come into the market with some stuff. We would love somebody to come in and you know, take Garmin down a notch. But, you know, the bottom line is they do build a pretty nice piece of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of – but, yeah, you want little guys to be able to come in and come up with something new and not fear for, you know, losing their company.
Yeah. Be innovative. That's the whole idea. Make it better for all of us. So, yeah. You know, you see stuff like this and it kind of makes you scratch your head like, oh, man, I don't know if this is the, you know, the best way to protect your property. Mm-hmm. But,
well,
you know,
it's frustrating that the FAA, you know, spent a lot of our tax dollars developing the ADS-B system and partnering with these companies. And then they go around and, you know, patent some of their particular implementations of something that the FAA designed the standards for. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe the FAA should step in and say, hey, wait a minute, we need to do more to encourage adoption. And we designed this system. Maybe we need to assert some patent authority at the government level.
Yeah. Well, we will see how it unfolds. But time will tell you. They say they're going to fight it. So they are standing up to Garmin, at least as it is right now. So we'll see what happens with that whole thing and where it traverses. But, okay, the other cool story we found this week had to do with alarms on your plane. When you're flying and a warning goes off.
Traffic.
It's not a guy. It's a girl. They have science that says that...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All the airliners are female voices.
Yeah. And there's
because both the female pilots and the male pilots will have better opportunity, or they will actually pay attention to it.
Right, and I don't know, is it the Garmin lady? Is it who?
Well, actually, if you go to Garmin traffic, there or G1000, you can switch it. There is a female voice and a male voice.
Okay, but actually, you have a name for her. Back in the day, they used to call her Bitchin'
Betty.
Bitchin' Betty.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, that's crazy. But but there's science behind this. It says that pilots will listen to a female voice.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's not new science. That's been around for a while.
Well, yeah, but it was new to me. Oh. I mean,
well, look at you, Greg. You listened to an air traffic controller that told you to do a 360.
Well, that's true.
You're case in point.
Yeah.
And you even said, a woman told me what to do, so I did it.
Yeah. I was like, yes, ma'am. You know, I'm programmed that way. And I guess I'm not alone, maybe.
I'm going to ask your wife about that.
Oh, yeah.
Programmed that way.
She'll totally back you up.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Back me
but,
up. But,
yeah, well, actually, the Garmin lady was actually the wife of one of the programmers.
Ah, okay.
And she had a British accent.
Hmm.
Yeah. Traffic.
Yeah. All right. Well, you do a pretty good impression for...
I've heard it quite a few times.
So, but that's better.
Have you flown around Orlando?
Yeah. Well, that warning of a woman saying traffic is better than like, they're saying that, you know, we'll tune that stuff up. We have selective hearing. Like when my wife says we take out the garbage after dinner and I'm like, you know, what? You know, 30
well,
minutes later.
But. You know, and that's absolutely true. I've been in airplanes with retractable gear airplanes and have simulated a gear failure, and you know, people are throttling back and they're getting the gear horn. I even had one guy say, "Can you shut that noise off?" Like, not realizing, dude, your gear's not down. That's why it's going off.
Yeah.
So you're absolutely right. A voice is much better. So if it was saying, gear,
yeah, should it be like that or say, "Hey, idiot."
Yeah. Well, I think we need to be able to program for the proper pilot. You know, just like you have preferential settings when you get in the car, you press the number one, and it moves the seat to your setting or the two.
Right.
When Greg gets in the airplane, you press the button, and it calls him, you know, idiot.
Activates
or slacker.
The taser.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's actually
shock
that's
treatment.
A better idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But
electrify the seat.
The female voice, the vibrating yoke has been the other one that they say actually, you know, shakes us back into reality and like, hey, there's something wrong. You got to do that. And they've incorporated that into a lot of cars. Like my new truck has that feature. If I veer off into another lane, I'm like,
I thought that was just the rumble strip on the side of the road.
Yes.
Well, they have I guess that's too. What they're trying to simulate is the rumble strip.
Exactly.
Just without the rumble strip there. Well, you know, that's interesting that, you know, you talk about the stick shaker and so forth, but you also go back to the change in the ACS with regards to SoulFlight, and that was the reason for the change is people were so used to flying SoulFlight with the horn blaring that when they heard the horn, and the concern was when they heard the horn for real as you're about to stall the airplane, people would not react because they're used to hearing it.
Yeah.
Versus now with the SoulFlight procedure, if you hear the horn, you correct for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the proper reaction.
Yeah. Or they should just get like Roseanne, like, hey, wake up, what are you doing? Yeah, I don't do a very good Roseanne, but I think you get the point. Or coming up, stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Any of you boys seen an aircraft carrier around here?
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Ned and Dennis, rounding out the crew today. Okay, so a lot of things happen when you're in the airplane. And, you know, if the female voice is yelling at you because you don't have your gear down or whatever, pay attention. But there are other distractions that can happen in the cockpit. And I see this other article gave us suggestions on what you should and should not eat when you're flying in your airplane. Now, some of this seems fairly commonsensical. Like, first, like everything that squirts, dribbles, melts, crumbles, or requires assembly, probably not a good food choice.
So you're saying no nachos with cheese?
No, I'm not saying no. Come on, let's be real. It's nachos with cheese. Who wouldn't want that? but
no,
it may not...
probably seven-layer nachos with all of the...
all the extra goo and...
Well, isn't that way it's supposed to be done all the time?
What do you mean?
Seven-layer nachos. Why would I just have chips and cheese?
Yeah, you can't skip a layer.
It's good.
Yeah. Probably.
I'm just thinking at the football games and basketball games, you see people walking around with that, and inevitably you see one that's fallen and everything's spilt. So
yeah, anything that can fall down,
cheese whiz on your on your airplane interior.
Yeah, coffee, probably not ideal, even though it is extremely necessary.
You know, our rule is the only thing that's supposed to go in the airplane with them is water. But I always go in there. It wasn't a Red Bull, but it was something like a Red Bull. I'm like, you know, come on, guys. One, you took it in the airplane. Two, you left the can in the airplane.
Yeah. You're a litter bug. Come on. Yeah. Clean up your mess. Mm-hmm. But you were happy that it ended up being Red Bull and that the pilot before you hadn't, like, relieved himself, because it kind of looks the same. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You don't get down there to sniff it, but you see that stain, like, oh, no, not again. Clean up on plane number three, please. No, you know, the thing is, I mean, you have a like a no food, no drink kind of thing in your planes, I'm assuming, though.
That's the rule. Nothing but water.
Right.
But if you're, unless you're there telling them, don't take that to the airplane, they still do it.
Yeah. But, you know, like, you know, Captain Clay, who has his Saratoga, I know he packs very specifically for his long flights. Mm-hmm. When he's flying out to the Caribbean, when I went out with him that one time when we cruised over to the Turks and Caicos, he had like a bag of nuts and things like that, and that's kind of what they recommend. Mm-hmm. In this, and he has a rule for himself, at least, that he won't drink any coffee. Mm-hmm. Right before a long flight, because, you know,
yeah,
the little John may work in the airplane, but it also may be somewhat awkward if you have someone else in the airplane with you. I mean, I like him and stuff, but thank God he didn't pull that out while we're on the flight. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know.
And I take, like, I'm going to be on three or 4 hour flight. I'll take a bottle of water with me, but I'm not going to drink it till the last hour.
Well, understood.
So I can hydrate and then get rid of it when I get on the ground.
Yeah, I got that. But if you're planning to eat something in the airplane, this article suggests, like, I don't know, like cheese and skewers of something with cheese and like lunch meats or something. That you know, real easy to kind of pull out and just pop in your mouth and you're good to go. And mm-hmm. You're on a little skewer that, you know, when you hit turbulence, you poke your eye out.
Oh, that's nice.
No, I don't know if they thought about that. That was the first thing I thought of when they gave that suggestion. I'm like,
you were the kid that ran with scissors, didn't you? So yeah. You got yelled at a lot.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, you live, you learn, and you go to the hospital. Well,
being the guy that has to clean up the airplane after we go somewhere, I'm starting to say no more to Doritos or anything that makes crumbs or has dust. Mm-hmm. So I can see that, you know, lunch meats.
Oh, yeah, think about the fingerprints with the Doritos.
Oh my God! The screen on the airplane.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So less fatty meats, so it doesn't leave that greasy film on your.
Well, at least that you can, you know, thing. One, you know, a napkin or two, you can at least get that off your finger. But yeah. Cheeto dust, how do you get that off? Mm. You don't. Stuff's in there permanently.
Yes. I mean, what's the worst thing you've had to clean up in your airplane other than, like, well, human fluids and things?
Yeah, they're human fluids is the worst.
Yeah.
And I do believe it is their responsibility to clean it up. I will give them the gloves and the tools to do so.
Yeah. Do you have a rule for your Mooney 201 there, Dennis?
Yeah, but my daughter is not allowed to drink or have chicken noodle soup before we fly ever again.
Chicken noodle soup?
Was much younger, we had an incident in flight that I had to clean up.
Well, was this after it had been ingested, or did you spill it? Oh, see, that's not good.
Well, now, going back to when I was in college, we were going to go flying on a Sunday morning.
Right.
We're going out for breakfast, you know, a couple of fraternity brothers and myself. And this first time I had anybody not feel good in an airplane. And I was a private pilot working on my instrument. And so we're flying someplace to get breakfast. And the one guy starts, nobody eating anything really because it was morning. Yeah, there might have been a party the night before or something.
Right, right.
But, you know, so he starts feeling ill. So I reach in the glove box and I pull out one of the little blue bags. I'd never used one before. I had no idea what was supposed to be inside the blue bag. Wasn't it was just a blue paper bag, a you know, like a coin envelope,
right?
And there's supposed to be a plastic bag on the inside, but evidently somebody used the plastic bag and put the little blue envelope back in the glove box.
Ah,
so I give it to the guy, and the guy opens it up and just into the little blue envelope.
Right.
And, of course, that disintegrates with all the juice.
Ah,
and,
nice.
You know,
nice
so
picture.
He's left holding it. The fortunate thing is, because I personally believe that this is not a spectator sport, that if somebody starts throwing up, I feel the need to to join in.
Okay.
Okay. Right. But fortunately, he did have a little bit something to eat that morning. He had some Oreos. So it actually smelled kind of good.
Okay. Well, I don't know what to think of that other than thank God we're almost out of time. Because, wow, I'm feeling a little woozy.
Get me out of here
nauseous.
Before he hurls.
I've never heard anyone describe vomit as a pleasant smell.
Only time I've experienced it.
Well, on that disturbing note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site for Morbid.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
They're just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plain Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlainRadio.com.